Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Earth Mac, the Mad Scientist.
And your girl, Detroit Blue, refreshed and fully rested after a wonderful Mother's Day weekend.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wait. Is this going to be the day? Is this finally going to be the day?
No, it's still not.
Finally.
It's still
that you make Monday your bitch because you ate, but you sound fresh though.
It's still not gonna be the day.
I'm just saying. I mean, Wow.
When they change it and they give us 4-day weekends and 3-day work weeks, then that'll be the day.
Man, just can't win, man. You had a wonderful weekend. You would think. You sound so fresh. You know, you sound fresh, renewed, rejuvenated. New.
Oh, yeah. No.
Wow, that's wow.
No. Nope.
Wow.
No. Nope.
And so you had
How
a
was
question.
Your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, I had a wonderful weekend. I had a great weekend, actually. But the weekend went by way too goddamn fast, man. It's crazy.
Because it's only 2 days.
It's only
a four-day weekend.
I think I know what it is. I think I know what made the day fly by so fast. It's because I'm not like in the house all day. And since outside is slightly opening back up again, you know, it's like 80 degrees outside. And once you smell outside, it's like, oh, it smells like sun. Let's go outside and check it out. So riding around with the windows down and going across town and spending money unnecessarily. Yeah, that can make the day go by fast. And then, of course, you got Mother's Day. So that's pretty much a whole day in itself. So.
Because it's Mother's Day. Yeah.
Right. There's a whole. see what you did there, Detroit. See, you're in rare form today. And here you are not making Monday your bitch. I don't understand. But anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a whole entire day. You know, of course, there's eating and hanging out, joking around. So you got that. So that day is already shot, too. So that's already done. So I think it's because it was Mother's Day weekend. That's why the weekend went by so quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory on that.
I just need you to know it's 45 degrees currently.
But why?
So there's no riding around with the windows down around here.
But why? I told y'all, man, y'all ain't living right in Detroit, man. I don't get it. It is May.
Top Gun said it's 42 in Louisville.
Y'all only living right in Louisville, man. What is going on right now? It's like 45 degrees. I mean, I ain't checked the weather today. I didn't check the weather today. But
I feel like you just got told to have several seats.
Ma'am, I can't help it, Queen, that we have constant 70 to 80 degree weather. We can't help that. Last week, we got thrown for a loop because it got real windy outside and it's like it got real chilly. I'm like, yo, where the hell does wind come from? It is May.
Nope. So it's supposed to get to set basically 70 this weekend. And so it looks like after this weekend, maybe we will actually, it looks like once we get to mid-May, then Michigan will finally stay warm for a second.
You said for a second.
Mm-hmm. You laugh. You've been here in November. I know that by November, it is this cold or colder again.
That's the funny thing about it. You said for a second. And that what makes it laughable to me because, yes, this weather will change. Hell, it might snow.
Don't you say that to us.
It won't.
This
it's
is
May.
What we're doing. This is how we starting a Monday, huh? You are choosing.
It will not. If
you're choosing
if
violence.
Anything, it will get chilly in Detroit. If anything, but it won't snow in Detroit, y'all. I'm just now. If you're going further upwards, you know, is it Upper Peninsula, UP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might be in a rude awakening for
you're
up there.
You're choosing violence. It's fine.
Don't we choose violence every day?
You're choosing violence against myself and Queen's Ransom.
Oh, don't include Queen in this situation.
She lives in the same city I do.
Man, I'm gonna create a weather device and put it in your homes. That way, nothing else will happen. like in your homes, except for outside. It's like, oh, everybody else got snow, I got some sun due to this weather device right here. I learned that from G.I. Joe.
Because you're the mad scientist.
Yeah, you know, they always make weather devices. COVID made weather devices, so I learned that from them. Who says COVID cartoons can't teach you stuff?
So, we got a lot going on for today. Mm-hmm. But also, I just want to randomly interject. I intentionally did not send you this piece because I knew that it was not going to go over. So I'm just going to interject it. Uh-huh. I am super excited about the fact that Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical, before there was Hamilton, there was In the Heights. And In the Heights is coming to Disney Plus.
I just did that to be funny. But wait a minute. What's the name of that play again?
It's called In the Heights.
What's it about?
It is basically about a neighborhood. It's I know it's a neighborhood in New York, and I'm trying to remember. I'm completely blanking. But that was the first musical that he developed, and it's supposed to come out June 11th. And now I'm looking at it, and it looks like it's HBO Max instead of Disney Plus. I think it was supposed to be on Disney Plus, but it'll be on HBO Max. But yes. So it's be in theaters and on HBO Max. And the trailer just recently got released during the award season. I'm super excited about it.
Okay. Now, for the record, I don't despise plays. Okay? I don't. It's just not on my top priority list. But if I'm in the mood, yes, I will watch a play. So if I'm in the mood for it.
So the synopsis is, Washington Heights is a Hispanic American community predominantly, and there's a bodega owner in the community that's being quickly gentrified, and he dreams of starting a business in his home country of the Dominican Republic. So over the course of 3 days, we watch him lust after a woman who is another business owner, get reacquainted with an old friend, and the fact that she's struggling with some guilt because her parents have to pay all of her college tuition. And it's just kind of watching this close-knit community kind of go through 3 days.
Interesting. About to check that out now. I might check that out. And speaking of plays,
but I knew that if I told you that before, you were gonna poo-poo it.
What? No, I was not. Detroit.
As you roll your eyes, knowing what the truth is.
I was not going to do that. Gosh, wow. I can't believe that, man. I can't believe you just put me out there on Front Street like that. Like I was gonna just kibosh the play. Because you know what? Speaking of plays, you have some more play news.
I do have more play news that I'm very excited about, and I feel like it's very, very appropriate for the Geek Corner. Unlike, I feel like the Geek Corner is very anti Hamilton. So I knew squeezing in something by the guy that made Hamilton would be tough, but for the Harry Potter lovers of the Geek Corner, unfortunately, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is the play about kind of after the book. That play got shut down, unfortunately, when Broadway got shut down because of COVID. So it is set to return in 2022. Ouch.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully Broadway is starting to open back up. There are going to be rehearsals. The play is billed as the 8th story in the Harry Potter series. It originally opened up in April of 2018. It's supposed to be 19 years after The Deathly Hallows, and it follows the lives of an older Harry Potter and his son Albus, who is now attending Hogwarts.
Okay.
So
okay.
This is finally supposed to return to stages next year.
Top Gun says, if they turn Harry Potter into a musical, I'm done.
This is not a musical. It is a play. From what I remember when I was reading about this initially, part of the concern was just that it was not going to translate as well into another movie.
Uh-huh.
So they decided that this one, instead of being a movie, they would turn it into a play. And so that's how we got Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway instead of in theaters.
I see.
And they're also talking about the third installment of the Fantastic Beasts series, which will be Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It's also supposed to come out in 2022 as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Awesome. Shout out to Plays. Shout out to Harry Potter fans out there. I'm not really much of a Harry Potter fan, believe it or not. I don't hate it. But it was heavily advertised to me to the point that you know how people like advertise something so much that it kind of drives you not to watch it?
So you just felt like you needed to rebel?
I did watch it, but my interest, like, to it, because I like magic and I like all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Which is weird. It's ironic because I'm not really saying, oh, I can't wait to watch Harry Potter today. So it's just, it's weird.
I know
it's weird. I have come to terms with that.
It's the same as you not watching Big Bang Theory.
Actually, I watched Big Bang Theory and I enjoy it.
But I'm saying before, you just started watching it.
Yeah.
So this feels like that. It's a thing that just makes sense. It, unlike the fact that you all always heckle me about not watching stuff, it's because a lot of the things that you guys talk about, they don't check any of the boxes for me.
True.
Harry Potter and Big Bang Theory check the boxes for you.
It does. It does check the boxes. That's what I'm saying. It's the irony of this. Like, I don't know. Maybe I should give it another shot and just see what happens at that point. Like, I don't hate it. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate it. I'm not crapping on Harry Potter at all. It's just that for some reason, it doesn't grab my attention.
Is it that it doesn't? Because you said that people advertised it and like pushed it too hard to you. Do you think that it's more so the fact that people kind of hyped it up to you too much that then it became underwhelming?
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Gotcha.
That's what it was. It was overhyped for me.
That and did you hyped. Just watch the one movie?
Actually, I ended up watching others. But still, it just wasn't allowing me to just sit down and just watch it. I always had this angst, like, just to move around and go do something while it's playing in the background. That makes sense. So it just didn't grab me. And I don't know why.
8 Harry Potter movies. Like, that's just, this is all fascinating. B6, I have never listened to the audiobooks for Harry Potter. I did start kind of reading a couple. I have heard amazing things about the audiobooks, though.
So I heard amazing things. I heard the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you should check the audiobooks first.
Maybe I should do that and go from there. Yes, Anton. Yes, I have watched Harry Potter.
Hear that you haven't watched Harry Potter?
All right, I have watched Harry Potter. Don't get me wrong.
It just
doesn't grab my attention. Maybe now, you know what? Maybe it'll hit me like The Watchmen hit me, because when I was a kid, I didn't understand The Watchmen and I didn't like it as much. But when I got older, I watched The Watchmen again and I fully understood it, because it wasn't your typical superhero movie, and that's what I was expecting with the first time I watched The Watchmen as a kid. But when I got older and watched it again, oh man, this movie is great. Same thing with Constantine. Didn't really like it that much, but then I rewatched it again when I got older. I'm like, oh snap, this is really good. After I found out and read more about Constantine and what his mannerisms are, cool. So Harry Potter may hit me differently this time around when I watch it again.
So you were asked, did you read the books? But no, you didn't read the books.
No, I did not. My first introduction to Harry Potter was the movies.
And then yeah. BC said that he likes the early Harry Potter more than the late and the darker ones. I think it depends on, for me, it depends on which one. Like I said, like in full, I have only watched the movies. I have not read a book entirely.
Yeah.
I tried to read the first book and the last book, but just the books are so heavy.
Yes, there's a lot. And I got plenty of books to read already. Okay. So, I mean, I bought 3 books. I bought the business book. I bought Black Fortune. I went to the comic book store and I found a Vader #1. It's called Vader Down. Mm-hmm. And I got that. I got X-Men Legends #2. That's not going to take long to read, obviously. But I got other books I got to catch up on. So Harry Potter is like way down on that list. Like way down. And they thick, like super thick. So I can't do. Now, audiobooks. Yeah, I'll probably knock out the audiobooks. I'll probably do that. But it's going
to
be
I can treat an audiobook like a podcast, and I can just listen to it in my car. I can listen to it while I'm, you know, doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And also, I also had a rare find on Saturday when I was in my travels. And I was telling Queen, I was like, yo, this is why I don't leave the house on Saturday, because I spend money unnecessarily. This is the reason. Because I went to the comic book store. My only goal was to get X-Men Legends #2. And I saw Vader and I was like, oh, let me get that. They got an Xbox rack, original Xbox rack. And what did I find? I found ESPN NFL 2K5, the GOAT of football games. And I like, yo, and it for only $6. Now, when I was in Detroit, I did see that game, but it was way more than $6. I can tell you that right offhand. So for it being there in pristine condition at $6, I'm like, yo, I'm going to get it. Now, here's where things get off the rails a little bit, because me and Detroit was on the phone earlier. So, but later on that day, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, on my way to get an Xbox. And she's like, you on your way to get an Xbox for one game? I was like, yes. Queen asked me the same thing. You getting the Xbox? I'm like, not the most recent one, the OG one, the early 2000s, the early 2000s mm-hmm. one. So, yeah, VC's disagrees that NFL Blitz to enter the chat. Now, I do have NFL Blitz, and I have played NFL Blitz on the Twitch stream if you haven't watched it yet. So, twitch.tv/OrangePhoenixTV. We'll be streaming at 7 p.m. today. So, yes, today, the original Xbox will be ready today. So I may have to travel downtown to go get that Xbox.
He said that he's got several in his shop that is refurbing. He wish you'd told him.
Say what? See, I thought BC was dabbling in the arcade realm. If he had an OG Xbox, 2 controllers.
That's what he said.
I might be patient. I might be patient. I might just wait.
Couldn't. He said refurbing game system too.
Well, you know what, BC? I'm going to wait it out. I'm not going to get the OG Xbox today. I'll wait on you. That's what I'm going to do. We support businesses around here. So, yes, okay. I will get an Xbox from DC.
So, you had me watch a trailer this morning.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So, yeah. So, it's been breaking news here. In what? Maybe today or late yesterday? Yeah, in the past hour.
Yeah.
The Venom 2.
When I looked, it said it had been just up for 40 minutes.
Yep. The Venom 2 Let There Be Carnage trailer was released.
Oh my God.
And like 2 minutes and, well, like 2 minutes, 16 seconds of a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you seen the first Venom movie?
Mm-mm.
I figured you had figured that
when you had me watch it. I was like, I'm sure that he knows that I haven't seen the first one.
Have you heard of Venom?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I've absolutely heard of Venom.
So you know his backstory.
I know a little bit about his backstory. And mm-hmm. after watching this trailer, the Geek Corner will be shocked. After watching this this trailer,
uh-huh.
I am really interested in seeing this movie. And so I immediately told myself, well, I'll go back and I'll watch the first one so that I'll be ready when the second one comes out.
Aha! So, here is my only complaint with this. Oh my God. I feel like Venom should be rated R. And there's just certain heroes that just need to be rated R. And for sure, if anything, I can get by Venom, the first Venom being PG-13. But this one with Carnage in it, it has to be rated R. So with Woody Harrelson playing...
Did they put
playing,
a rating on it?
I don't think so. I don't think they put a rating on it yet. So Cletus Cassidy is played by Woody Harrelson. And Cletus Cassidy's character is a serial killer. And he kills people in the most inhumane ways. So Venom symbiote, well, Eddie Brock symbiote Venom actually reproduces and actually had a kid. And that kid ended up going to Cletus Cassidy. And Cletus has his own symbiote called Carnage. And Carnage has the ability to make his body into blades or sharp objects, basically. And that's how he was doing to do his hacking and slashing. But at this point, he has a connection with Eddie Brock, and that causes the rift between the two, and they are fighting. But as I look at the trailer, it is very, very interesting, and that R rating may get by me because of how entertaining it is, especially him, the dialogue between Mrs. Chang and Eddie, and Venom, of course, because Mrs. Chang know who Venom is, you know, once you watch the movie. You're like, yo, hey, Mrs. Chang. Hey, Eddie. Hey, Venom. Yo, Mrs. Chang. Yeah.
Until, and then he wanted to eat her.
Because the chocolate didn't come in yet.
She didn't have the chocolate. And so he was offering to eat her.
He's like, I want to eat her. He's like, no, you cannot eat her.
It was quite amusing. And I could tell that he's an anti-hero. So, you know, of course, I was getting Deadpool vibes, and I love Deadpool.
Of course.
So, yeah. That's what I said. Like, I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is cute. This is clever. I think I'll make sure to watch the first one so that I'll, you know, have the backstories.
I think that one of the things that makes it entertaining with the first movie is the dialogue between Venom and Eddie. Because early on in the comics, he wasn't really talking to the symbiote like that. He was referring to himself as we. But you never really hear the symbiote talk. It was just more or less Eddie talking as Venom. That kind of thing. So now, honestly, that's a cool power to have, to be honest with you. Your symbiote can make any clothes it want to. So you don't never have to buy clothing ever again. Oh, you want some fresh J's? Boom, got you.
That would actually be really awesome because I have a very specific idea for an outfit that I want to wear for a wedding. And I know I'm never going to find it in real life.
Right.
So that would be amazing if I could just tell this symbiote or have this idea in my head and then they just created it. That would be amazing.
Right. And now I must have missed it. Did you call Venom cute?
I don't know. I think I said the movie was cute. Like the trailer looked cute or something. Oh. I don't know. I saw that Top Gun said that. But also, Anson said, super curious, what are they going to do with Black Adam? We've talked a little bit about Black Adam. Every once in a while, there's a little bit of news. every once in a while, there is a little bit of news about Black Adam. So I know that it's definitely in the development stages at this point. Because we're not going to get that one until like late 22, early 23, right?
Right.
Yeah, so unfortunately they haven't been starting to film or anything, but gonna be Dwayne Johnson. It's supposed to come out before we get Shazam 2 though.
Right. So it is okay with Black Adam. In the comics more recently, he's more or less an anti-hero, so, and not a villain. So this is the route that they're actually taking with Black Adam, so he's going to be, you know, more or less the anti-hero. I know Dwayne has been real vocal about keeping the Snyderverse the way it is because he wants to keep it going and go from there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know if people are going to listen to him or, I mean, AT&T is the same way. They was partnering with Dwayne. They're like, yeah, we want the Snyderverse and this, that, and third, but I don't know. Like what's going on? Like with the WB, and how they are treating DC, man. It's like they got a chokehold on it. I don't know. It's like they're going to have some success. They're going to have some failures. Black Adam's going to be successful. The Flash is going to be successful, mainly because Michael Keaton is going to be in it. Mm-hmm. Any other movie, though, I'm not sure on its success. That part is going to be up for debate. And there's too many other characters out there you can use and make famous. Like Marvel. Like, nobody never really heard of Guardians of the Galaxy, but you know now.
Right.
So, Shang-Chi, same way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm looking and they said that the kid that plays, well, the guy, because I wouldn't really call him a kid, the guy that plays Young Rock is going to be in Black Adam.
See? There you go.
And you go. They are starting to film. And Aldis Hodge and The Rock are apparently very pumped about the fact that the movie is just starting to film.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rob says, if you rely on Michael Keaton to make Flash successful, we have an issue. I mean, honestly, that's the buzz around The Flash, is Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck.
That's the biggest thing that's been talked about, is the fact that, oh my God, Michael Keaton's in it. You really don't hear about any other separate news about The Flash.
Nope.
Other than the fact that people are so excited that it's confirmed that Michael Keaton's in it.
Yep. And then that's it. That is it. So, I mean, you got Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, and because they're gonna I want to say they're gonna start Flashpoint. I think that's where that's gonna come in at. That's why you're gonna see the Michael Keaton in there as old Bruce Wayne, because a lot of people want old Bruce Wayne and him training Terry McGinnis as Batman Beyond. And that would be dope. That would be super, super, super dope. So we'll see. We'll see. But I don't know. There is so many characters DC has. Like The Question. You know, I mean, you can easily make a Question movie. Booster Gold, knock that out the park. Easy. Easy stuff. But I know they're working on...
They keep deciding on mediocrity.
Yes. Yes. They keep deciding on mediocrity.
They don't want to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Warner Brothers be like, oh, let's do a new Superman. Oh, by the way, let's do another Batman, if we will. Like, what about all these other characters? Nah, screw them. We don't want that.
The new Batman is supposed to be coming out too with Robert Pattinson.
Yes, and the trailer is phenomenal. I do love that Batman trailer, because this is early days. This is like year two Batman, mm-hmm. where he's an actual detective and he is looking up stuff and he's figuring out things. That is why the Batmobile looks that way, because this is only the second year he's been Batman. This is the early years.
Now, are we supposed to... March of 2022?
I think so, yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, that really does suck. I mean, but look, the way this year's been going, it's already May. So it'd be 2022 before you know it. Don't even worry about it. Never worry about it. See, I mean, you know, we probably living in space, and speaking of space. So, Elon Musk is at it again. He's doing it again. He's actually had a phenomenal week, actually, when you're really thinking about it. So
he had a decent week. He could have done better.
I mean, didn't like
SNL bombed.
Oh, well, other than the SNL bombing or whatever the case would be, I mean, he had a successful space, you know, landing. He was mm-hmm. on SNL with his mom, you know, mm-hmm. despite whatever was going on. And now he says he has announced that SpaceX will launch a satellite to the moon next year, which will be funded entirely by the cryptocurrency Dogecoin. Geometric Energy Corporation shared news of Doge 1 mission to the moon on Sunday, with the SpaceX boss confirming in a follow-up tweet that he had accepted the meme-inspired cryptocurrency as a full payment for the lunar mission. Doge 1 is planned to launch in the first quarter of 2022 and will be responsible for delivering the first crypto in space and the first meme in space, says Musk. And the mission itself will see the SpaceX team attach a 40-kilogram CubeSat to a Falcon 9 rocket, specifically designed to transport people and payloads into Earth orbit and beyond. According to GEC, the miniaturized satellite will then proceed with its mission to obtain lunar spatial intelligence, from sensors and cameras on board with integrated communications and computational systems. So the mission would demonstrate the application of cryptocurrency beyond Earth orbit and set the foundation for interplanetary commerce. SpaceX Vice President of Commercial Sales Tom Ochoniro was quoted as saying in a statement released by Canada Geometric Energy, "We're excited to launch Doge 1 to the moon." Also, there will be a physical Dogecoin on that moon as well. Oh. I'm gonna buy my yacht like tomorrow. That's all I'm saying. Oh, tomorrow. Like, we got a yacht. We on a boat. I'm on a boat.
You on a boat? Are you gonna have T-Pain singing?
Probably. He be handsomely paid.
That's literally one of my favorite things that SNL has ever done.
That's hilarious. It's hilarious. So
the Lonely
yes.
Island was a great thing that came out of Saturday Night Live.
It was. It definitely was. No doubt. It definitely was. But yeah, so for you investors out there, you might want to get on the good foot. And especially if this is a very, I mean, honestly, he's having some very successful missions. He's been funding a lot of things. So this should be awesome. This should be awesome. For our future investors, this could be retirement time. If you invest the right amount of cash money for the 99 and 2000. I'm sorry. You know what? Never mind.
You sounded like a 50-year-old.
I am not filthy. I am not 50.
Just random song references that have no tie to what the heck is going on.
I'm sorry. You know, sometimes like when I talk and then I get it's certain songs or certain wording that just gears me towards the lyrics of another song. So it just does that. It happens. Like You Don't Do It, Detroit.
I'm so done with DC's talking about and Top Gun, it wasn't 50 slander, but I mean it was random. BC said that Lonely Island gave all us guys the perfect gift idea when we don't know what to get our ladies. No, BC. No. I know someone that wore that as a Halloween costume one year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That was absolutely his Halloween costume. It was very, 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 very special.
Buying. Look, I'm buying yachts and more giraffes for Geoffrey.
BC wears it as a Christmas costume. But the children are there, BC. The children are there. I'm concerned. Oh, goodness. Speaking of Earth Mac throwing out random lyrics and kind of, you know, acting like an old person. I have a list today. There was the people were calling for the fact that we had not done a throwback list in a minute.
Uh-huh.
So I guess, you know, everybody was in the mood for a bit of nostalgia.
Yes. What you got?
So this list is funny because it is titled 20 Things That All 80s Kids Remember. And the very first thing on this list, I have no recollection of. And I definitely was born in the 80s. But number one, tuning into the final episode of MASH.
I hated that show so much.
I really did. Coming on was always the signal that I clearly was up too late and I needed to go to bed.
I really didn't like that show too much, man. You know why I hated it so much? Because my brother was watching it all the time. I was like, there's other crap on TV. Now, why are we doing this? Matter of fact, I think one Christmas I got him the MASH collection. For either for his birthday or for Christmas. It was years ago though. I don't know if he still has it. But I did get him that, but no.
So and this is definitely a sign of when TV was different, when there were limited channels, because 106 million people watched the historic final episode of MASH that was debuted, that released on February 28th, 1983.
Yeah, it. Anton asks, "Well, how do I not? I just never did, man. There was other crap on TV that had my interest, man. You know, a lot of colors and stuff. I didn't. No. Whatever.
Yeah, I didn't want it. That's a lot of colors.
It was. The 80s and 90s was full of colors all over your television screen. And then you got mad.
And then he said, we got to talk. This is unacceptable.
I'm just saying.
What? It's you this time and not me. I'm just saying.
Okay, so you bust around with G.I. Joes and Thundercats, and you got everything that is very entertaining, and then boom, you get matched with this intro music that's so quiet and calm. I don't want none of this.
I would watch it sometimes, but it was just usually the reruns came on crazy late, and so as soon as I would hear that, then I knew it was like time to go to sleep, and I'd be like, all right, so before my mother hears me still watching television, let me just go to bed. So I'm not saying that the show was trash. I'm just saying that the time in which it came on TV, most of the time here in Detroit, it was time for me to go to bed.
Right. Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's what it is. You know what? No, I'm sticking by my original statement. It was trash. Trash. Anyway, moving on.
He said he's got to go to work, but are you comparing MASH to the Thundercats?
I mean,
it
can't be a comparison, honestly, because it's a Saturday morning cartoon, obviously, versus a regular TV show. But if I had to compare it, yes, I would pick Thundercats over MASH any day of the freaking week. Any day of the week.
I feel like that's gonna. Ooh. All right. So number two, being riveted by the rescue of baby Jessica. In 1987, a 18-month-old baby fell down a well in her aunt's backyard, and the world was transfixed. On the efforts to save her, it took 56 hours to pull her out, and CNN broadcasted every second of the rescue.
So, yeah. Yeah. So,
I remember baby Jessica. Like, and I remember that whole, I remember that being a to-do.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like you don't remember anything about baby Jessica.
Nah, it's very vague. It's very vague. It's very vague. Now, not to say I don't remember it completely, but I would have to like think back, go back in my memory and like, okay, something. It had to be some kind of event, not just her being in there, but just kind of like pushed me back in that memory. Like I'm trying to pull myself, where was I at that point in time? I mean, yeah, it was 87, so I was only 2 years old.
Just like DC said. See, I was 5, but I still kind of just remember growing up and like updates on baby Jessica and stuff like that were just always a thing.
Right. You got Reagan. Whatever.
Number three, speaking of Reagan, number three, learning to just say no.
Man. You know.
The anti-drug campaign created and championed by First Lady Nancy Reagan during her husband's presidency was a huge part of the 80s. And the campaign was around the country, including guest appearances on shows like Different Strokes.
You know, ironic, this is an anti-drug campaign, but yet drugs, cocaine, smack, and booger sugar was going into our black communities. You know, it's funny. It's quite
booger
odd.
Booger sugar, that's where you went?
Yeah, that's what they call it. Heroin, all the hard stuff.
The white horse.
Yeah, the white
Do you want to ride?
Yeah. Dare, exactly. See, I never knew what drugs were until Dare came around. I wasn't even I didn't even know what drugs were. And then, boom, Dare. Just say no. Oh, there's drugs?
Y'all are ridiculous. Number four, and this brings back like very mixed emotions for me. Number four is hanging out with the Smurfs.
I wasn't a Smurfs fan. You know, I know the irony in that, but I'm not really much of a Smurfs fan. Snorks, yes. I love the Snorks. All Stars, my boy.
Just an FYI, I am absolutely telling our friend group what you just said.
Yeah. Now,
because that's way too, you know that there's going to be way too many laughs about that.
You know why? Because there was only one, there was Smurfette. She was the only one. I found that quite odd in this village. She's the only one. She's the only female Smurf. Where's everybody else? Where are all these other Smurfs? I'm like, you know what? This show is perverted. Even as a kid, I'm like,
I it's never, not right. See, that shows how terrible of a mind you had, because I never remotely thought of that. I was excited that there was representation. There was a lot of shows that didn't have a girl character.
True. But can you explain?
Smurfs had a girl.
You know,
maybe Gargamel essentially was trying to do genocide and he wiped out all the other females.
Although he did want to eat them.
See? He kept trying to capture them and eat them. Yeah. Snorks was not better.
Which was equally as bad. Like, you just want to eat random things that... Like, have you eaten a Smurf before, bro? Have you eaten a Smurf? like, something in the milk ain't clean, man. I was very inquisitive as a kid, so, I mean, I was just trying to figure stuff out.
Number five, trying to learn the moonwalk.
Hell yes. Yes, and I was very successful at doing it. I saw him perform Billie Jean. And I don't know what stage he was on, but it looked like he was on vinyl, like the stage was made out of vinyl, but it looked that way. But as a kid,
it was like the Motown 35 celebration,
right? And then he did the moonwalk. I'm like, oh shit! I like, all right, moonwalk time. Let me try it. Boom, kick front slide, kick front slide, kick front slide. Very successful, very successful. Couldn't wait to go to the school dances to pull that joint.
I'm waiting to see video of this.
There's no video evidence of this, man.
Oh, no, you know, no, no. I mean, the fact that you said that it's so easy that I expect there to be a video of you doing it.
I don't know if I can do it now, ma'am. You know, that was back then when camcorders was like 7,500 pounds.
I expect to see you do it now.
You would not see me, ma'am.
It's so easy.
Nope. Why? You can't do it?
Oh, no. And I also never cared to, because I didn't really care that much about Michael Jackson.
Oh, well, pause the music.
I absolutely chose sides back even back then.
And you jump on me about the Smurfs. Death Tape is pales in comparison.
That's only because you guys worship Michael Jackson.
No, man, he's the king of pop. He's the king of pop.
Okay.
Come on now. Okay.
I mean, Prince even told Beyonce she couldn't call herself the queen if she couldn't play an instrument. So.
Oh, these are the facts.
I just want to know which instrument Michael was playing.
Oh, man. I'm just saying. Well, he's the king of pop. Sorry. King of pop.
What instrument?
I don't give a crap what instrument he played. He's the king of pop.
Prince was playing all of them.
I understand. I understand. I get all that. I get all that. You're trying to start wars right here. You talk about me choosing violence, man. What type of shit is this?
I'm just saying.
Go on.
Y'all be riding for a dude that just walked backwards.
Everybody's
like, oh my god, they stood here and screamed for him for so long. Like,
moonwalk, moonwalk, not slide. Moonwalk.
He slid backwards.
No, it's moonwalking. He put himself in space and he walked across it. Moonwalk.
He wasn't in space.
We are the world. You might as well be.
It's Prince Michael Jackson. Was also in We Are the World, so.
I get it. I get it. You hate Michael Jackson. That's okay.
I don't even hate him. I just don't get the extreme adulation for him.
Gotcha.
That part escapes me.
What else you got, ma'am?
I mean, the dude slid across the floor backwards and y'all obsessed about it. It's wonderful. Number six, listening to music on a Walkman for the first time.
Let me tell you. That's good stuff right there, man. I just had a memory, man. I like sitting on my grandma's porch. And I had me a Walkman, too. I did have one. And you know those headphones, that one that, you know, kind of like slide off your head a little bit if you just position yourself wrong.
Yeah. There was no in between. It literally was just like certain, like, oh, you can have it on one, two, or three. So you either had a small, medium, or big head. And if yours was anywhere in between, it wasn't going to fit.
Nah. I mean, to be honest with you, I really do want a Walkman. Don't ask why. I just want one. And I would gladly get cassette tapes for it. I would gladly get one. Just wait. Matter of fact, I might go on Amazon today and do that. You know, anyway.
Stop spending money like this.
I'm sorry. Well, I don't. I really don't. Ask Queen. I really don't spend money like that. Really
but
don't.
I'm saying, you already were about to drop $100 in a day.
When I was going to drop 100?
I'm talking about just between the game and the game system.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I mean, the game itself was $6. And I can probably get that Xbox for like, for cheaper than 100. I know that.
So when you add that up, uh-huh. Look, as they always say in the adult world, if you had a $100 bill and you broke it for $6, that $100 is gone.
Oh, I like your way of thinking.
As soon as you break it, as soon as it's not a $100 bill anymore, $5 here, $10 there, $40 there, it's gone.
But BC says he's got me on the Xbox, so I...
So you going to take the Xbox money and put it on the Walkman?
Possibly. Possible. Anyway, go, you know. What you got?
So next, we have learning that Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Let me tell you something. That's the most, that's probably one of the most iconic lines in Star Wars history. Like, Luke, I am your father. That's impossible.
This is nothing compared to hearing it for the first time, although it's one of the most well-known lines in pop culture history. Not knowing for sure if Darth Vader, and not knowing if Darth Vader was telling the truth for sure. This was before the internet existed. The excitement of not knowing the exact lineage between Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker is something that future generations will never understand.
Yeah. Yeah. He like, search your feelings. You know it's true. Then when he started screaming, he knew it. He like, damn, that's my dad.
He just knew that he was telling the truth immediately.
Right. And he just dropped. You know, luckily he got caught up on a wire. Then he dropped out of Cloud City, but you know, whatever.
See, that's that era of Star Wars movies that I've never seen.
Yo, that is Empire Strikes Back.
I know, that's that era of Star Wars movies that I haven't seen.
That's probably the best Star Wars movie, honestly. In my on that depend. I feel like Empire is the best one.
Top Gun, yeah. At this point, you've got to stop being surprised. You got to stop being surprised.
Right. She don't know me about the Smurfs, but yeah, this list is way longer than mine.
Alpha Come Mike on. Said we need a list of just the movies that I've actually watched.
Mm-hmm.
DC, oh. I don't know if we can click the link.
I know what that is, though. I'm pretty sure that's a Walkman.
Yeah, you're going to have to copy and paste that or something.
Oh, that don't worry about it. It's already been copied and pasted. Don't even worry about it. It's already been copied and pasted. For listeners out there, yes, BC's hooked me up with a link to Amazon, and it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Goodness. So next on the list, number 8, feeling inspired by Hands Across America.
I really don't remember this because I was one.
Because you were one. For a day in 1986, 6.5 million people held hands to recognize hunger and homelessness. Creating a human chain across the United States. Or at least that's what we remember being told. Most of us never actually figured out where to go to be a part of it, but it definitely happened, and we definitely bragged that we were a part of it.
So, you know, recognize homelessness and hunger. But did it do anything?
They held hands across America.
Man, stay in the house. Stay in the house. If you're going to recognize it, do something. That is just as worse as the anti-drug campaign. Horrible. Horrible. People
they
weird.
They held hands. I don't understand.
Homelessness
why you're
is
so
bad.
Angry about them holding hands.
And then recognizing.
To recognize the problem.
You know.
Have
moving
you
on.
Held hands to recognize something?
No. We were doing stuff. Ma'am, you already know. We in our respective voice, we do community service around here. Like, we do things.
But
you know,
did
just
you hold
recognize
hands across
them.
America?
No, we didn't.
Sorry. We did. You're not doing enough.
Oh my gosh.
You are not doing enough. So, number 9, being horrified by the Challenger explosion.
I don't remember seeing this. However, in my hometown, I'm originally from Atlanta, but I went to school in Lake City all my life. So Ronnie E. McNair is a Lake City native.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have a memorial like right beside the library, like a statue and everything. I think when Queen came down and I took her down through Lake City, we had barbecue, obviously. Then I rode by like, yo, that's Ronnie McNair, you know, from Challenger. Or whatever. So, yep. Now, we do have that out. One another person's is civilian school teacher Krista McAuliffe. McAuliffe? Yeah, McAuliffe. Yeah, I'm sorry.
McAuliffe.
So,
Yes, all 7 of the crew members, including the school teacher, which was the very first time that a civilian had been a part of a flight like this. They were all killed, unfortunately, because the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds after its takeoff. I remember parts of this. I wasn't in school yet when it happened. There is a documentary on Netflix about this. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, unfortunate, like, because there was a school teacher that was a part of it, then they had a lot of schools, like, students all over the world were watching from their classrooms. You know, they brought in the TVs, they turned, you know, made sure it was on the right channel, and all of these students were watching when all of a sudden the explosion happened.
Right.
So it was devastating to more people. Even Top Gun said he was watching from class. It was devastating because even more people than normal were watching it live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after the excitement, like shortly after the excitement of being like, oh my God, yes, it just took off. What just happened?
Yeah, that's it's very one of those searing in your memory type moments. So, and they actually got a documentary on that on Netflix. If y'all haven't watched that yet, so y'all definitely need to check it out.
I just said that. You wouldn't listen to me.
I was, but I'm also looking at this Super Bowl shuffle because this poster is ridiculous.
So you are moving ahead and then not listening to me. I got you. Number 10 is doing the Super Bowl shuffle.
Okay, Detroit, can you put this link in the group because they need to look at this poster?
You want me to put this in the Geek Corner?
Especially... Everybody got their hand. Never mind.
Why is there so much judgment? Do you not? You clearly do not remember the song either.
No, because this happened in 85. So I was actually born in 85.
But
so
have you never seen this?
Yes, actually. Yeah. It's been a long time though. So I don't like remember the wording per se, but I do remember those hands being up. It's like, look at me, you know, that kind of thing. And that's why this poster is ridiculous to me. And it's funny to me because it's kind of like, it's bringing back that memory. I do know that pose, but as far as like the song and like the lyrics and all that, I don't remember. So, you got, oh, wait, is that it? That it?
I found it.
Yes. Well, they called me sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Mouse Mance. We had the goals since training camp. Oh my God,
this is so bad.
And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here.
Feed the needy.
We just dumped it through the Super Bowl shop. This is Speedy Willis, and I.
So yes.
Oh my gosh. This is ridiculous. Oh man, you know what? I gotta find a way to save this image and actually put it in the because if you're looking at the same thing me and Detroit is looking at, yeah. Especially
you were terrible.
It says also available on 12-inch extended version and XDR cassette. In small lettering.
Yes. You are way too amused
and
throwing so much shade.
I Yeah, look, we do have some friends that are like in Chicago. I was like, hey, y'all remember this? Explain this to us, please.
But the fact that you don't remember makes it that much funnier.
Man. Now, as soon as you play the song, I was like, let feed the needy. But yeah, that's all 80s right there, man. Because they like to hang on the words. And like, yeah, it's crazy. I am way too amused at this. Anyway, moving on.
Hold on, Top Gun. We're not even going to have him look at the Raider song yet. We can't even. No. Mm-mm. So, the Super Bowl Shuffle, for those that may not remember, was a part of when the Chicago Bears in 1985 won the Super Bowl, and they had a very memorable song where they danced to their own new shuffle. The song, they said that we've never seen professional athletes be so willing to make complete fools of themselves. We were mesmerized.
And thoroughly entertained.
It was the kind of song that was unafraid to make rhymes like I'm the rookie and no dumb cookie.
Yeah. And feed the needy. Yeah, I'm sorry. He did it.
He said his name was Sweetness and then tried to throw the fact that, you know, something about like he wasn't about romance or about romance. Like, how did you squeeze romance into
who wrote these about lyrics?
Anyway, number 11, watching after school specials.
Now, Detroit, I'm gonna be honest with you. So I know in some circles. Yes, Ashley. But the first thing I thought about wasn't the actual after school special. I thought about Wayne Brady on the Chappelle Show. When he taught Dave, he's like, smoke it. This ain't no after school special. Smoke it. And so that would make me think about it. Oh my God. I remember after school specials though. I do remember.
There were the ABC after school specials that, with the help of famous people who were not famous yet, taught us things like drunk driving is bad, thanks to Michelle Pfeiffer, or that teenage boys have complicated emotions, Ben Affleck, what? And that depression is a disease, Matthew Modine and Meg Ryan. Perfect. Kirk Cameron was in one, so some of the titles included Two Loves for Jenny, Did You Hear What Happened to Andrea, Ace Hits the Big Time, and Face at the Edge of the World with Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Boys have complicated emotions.
That featured Ben Affleck.
Wow. Wow. I gotta find that on YouTube now. What complicated emotions are you talking about? Are you speaking of puberty?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I found it.
Yes, ma'am. Sarah.
What is going on with you?
God damn it.
He was doped up on steroids.
He was on complicated. Of course he got complicated emotions. And you on drugs.
The house. And he tore up the house.
I just wonder whether that happened.
I don't know what that sound was. But I think.
Oh my gosh. Complicated emotions.
It was an anti-steroids thing called, from 1994, called A Body to Die For, the Aaron Henry story.
Oh my gosh. That complicated emotions. You're taking a shot in your ass. That's what's going on. That would make your emotions complicated.
Well, it looked like he was taking a pill.
Oh, that's anti-steroids head. Just throw a picture of Chris. Oh, too soon. I think time has passed. Yeah.
Really?
I'm just mad at the whole thing is complicated emotions. Boys with complicated emotions. That went completely in a different direction than what I thought it was.
A Body to Die For.
My gosh. After school specials, man. You gotta love them. You gotta love it.
number 12, this is a thing that I don't remember. I just remember the name. Seeing Greg Louganis hit his head on the diving board at the 1988 Olympics.
You know what? I did see that.
Yeah, so the guy was one of the best divers ever with 2 gold medals under his belt from the 84 Olympics. And nobody expected anything but perfection. And then in the 88 games in Seoul, he hit his head on the diving board during a reverse somersault dive and gave himself a concussion.
Because he went on to win a gold medal after that, didn't he?
Yeah, he eventually got 5 stitches, but not before going back on the board with a bloody skull and trying to dive again. He won a gold medal and cemented his place in Olympic history.
That's great.
That's so, BC, you said, how are we remembering these things at 2 and 5 years old? I was born at 82. So some of these things, if they happened in like 87, 88, like I was in school by then. So, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. That is family in crisis. That's crazy. I'm still on that, man.
That sounds like, are you really? Is that what you... Family. See, Top Gun was born in 71. So Top Gun, during this period of time, definitely was in school and like in high school and stuff during some of these things. Number 13, getting a little frightened when a computer was named Man of the Year.
Was frightened?
In 1982, a personal computer became the first non-human to be celebrated on Time Magazine's annual Man of the Year cover. They called it Machine of the Year, even though those of us who had never touched a computer knew this was significant. At the same time, it was kind of scary. Did this mean that robots were finally poised to conquer human civilization and turn us into their minions? Thankfully, the machines haven't taken over yet.
Yeah, we don't want Skynet. We don't we don't want that to happen, okay? We don't want no parts of that. I also saw an article somewhere that they are working with liquid metal. I'm like, you really trying to have the liquidator? You really want that to go down? Like, I mean, come on.
We're going to have the T-2000.
We do not want that. So it's so funny because our phones are more powerful than the computer that is on that front cover. Like by several miles. I mean, you had the black floppy disk with that black film in the middle of it. And
BC, are clearly not the oldest one in this group. I'm older than you.
Yeah, he is not. And I had a computer way back when, and you know what's so funny? I used to have like a vivid imagination. So Ghost Rider was like one of my favorite shows on PBS. So it's something I used to get on that old computer that my mom had, and I used to just type on it. You never watched Ghost Rider?
Like, I used to sit, like, I remember the intro coming on, and I just like, all right, time to watch something else.
Wow.
Because I don't
remember how I am with Mash.
I don't remember what came on before it, but it was like, as soon as that would come on, I'd be like, all right, time to change channel. I feel like it was something like NBA Inside Stuff or something came on first.
Oh, you picked a better one. I can't argue that. I can't argue that. I really can't. Yeah, I mean, NBA Inside Stuff, that came on right after. That was on NBC, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. No argument there. You get no strife from me.
You were like, that was a much better choice.
Yeah, you made a better choice. I had imagination because I was like, I was on that old computer pretending I was talking to Ghost Rider. I don't know, man. Just imagination.
Number 14. Opening Trapper Keepers.
Yeah.
Rip of the Trapper Keeper was amazing until one day the plastic tore.
You might as well throw the whole damn Trapper Keeper in the trash. You might as well.
It's not keeping anything anymore.
No, not at all. I mean, once you get that tear, it's like, nah, I'm done with it now. I need to get a new one with a better design. And you know, you get those folders in it too. Dad, I probably got some space stuff on it. BC says duct tape. Man, it's you treat your Trapper Keeper like your shoes. You know, you get your latest Trapper Keeper. So that thing tore, it's like, We don't want it anymore. We got to get something else.
So I just realized, because I had hit mute on my computer, I just realized that A Body to Die For was still playing on YouTube.
Yeah, see, it's trying to educate you, Detroit, on steroids. It's
how... He looks like he's at a diner. Like, how are you complaining that you want to get bigger and you're going to go eat burgers and fries at the diner?
None of this stuff makes sense, but somehow we enjoyed it all. I looking back on some of this stuff, you'd be like, I don't even know how I like this, but whatever.
Lordy. So number 15, watching President Reagan say, tear down this wall. It says, even if you were too young to understand what the Berlin Wall was or why it was important, we all knew it was a big deal. So our president declared, during a West Berlin speech in 1987, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. The entire world took notice. And just 2 years later, the Berlin Wall finally came down. And it felt like democracy would never be the same.
Moving on to number 16.
Because I love how you and BC are like, yeah, I don't remember any of that.
No, well, I mean, it's Reagan. I don't like him. So whatever.
Oh, Lordy. Number 16, I am a fan of rocking out to the Live Aid concert.
Freddie Mercury.
Every 80s rock star played at this historic benefit concert in 85, designed to raise money to stop the Ethiopian famine. They did not hold hands just to recognize the Ethiopian famine.
I just was about to say that.
More than a billion people watched the performance, which was broadcasted in 110 countries. If you weren't glued to your seat for the Led Zeppelin reunion or to watch Freddie Mercury and the rest of Queen command the crowd at Wembley Stadium, you missed something truly spectacular.
So you mean to tell me they actually did something? Versus, yeah.
They had a historic benefit concert, yes. There was, if I remember correctly, the Live Aid concert happened in, I think, 4 different cities at the same time. And like the number of acts was huge. They organized it in 10 weeks, and the lineup included more than 75 acts with Elton John, Queen, Madonna, Santana, Run DMC, Sade, Sting, Bryan Adams, The Beach Boys, Mick Jagger, David Bowie, Duran Duran, U2, The Who, Tom Petty, Neil Young, and Eric Clapton.
Hey, man, that's a hell of a lineup.
Yes.
Man, wish I was a fly on the wall for that one. But alas.
They said that there were more than 70,000 people at Wembley Stadium in London and 100,000 people or at the Phillies JFK Stadium, where 100,000 people watched.
Interesting. Yeah, that was a hell of a concert. That's a hell of a lineup.
It raised $127 million.
Whoa. Wow. They really did something. They didn't hold hands.
They did not just hold hands and bring recognition.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes, Top Gun. I mentioned Run DMC. Run DMC performed as well.
Awesome. I like that.
So yes, that was a huge deal. Raised a ton of money, and multiple cities at the same time were doing these concerts. So it was interesting because one concert was basically happening at night and one was happening in the middle of the day.
I dig it.
Number 17, by far one of my all-time favorite things ever, spending the morning at Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Listen, first of all, round of applause right here for Pee Wee's Playhouse, man. This man has taught us a lot of things in the Playhouse and how weird Lawrence Fishburne looks. So, yeah, I had no idea. But Pee Wee, man, I mean, I remember the movies and then the show itself and the intro. I'll never forget that intro. Like, it's Pee Wee's Playhouse was awesome. I mean, BC said that was the weirdest, greatest, pedo-est show of all time.
But when I looked at it, like, when I got older and realized, like, oh, that's why they took Pee Wee off TV. And when I then rewatched some of the show was weird. I never found it pedo-ish.
Yeah.
In a rewatch, like, I didn't get that vibe from it, but it was super weird.
Yeah. It never was.
Super. It also, and I won't, I don't think that I considered it pedo-ish, but what it was that they were very, like, overtly, like, flirty and, like, adults trying to hook up with each other on the show. That if you're a kid, you just think they're being real friendly.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, see, but the innuendo was never towards the children.
Right.
The innuendo was always, like, Pee-wee and Miss Yvonne, like, they were getting real, real flirty, but they weren't, they were just being creepy around children. They weren't being creepy to the children.
Kind of like how parents are sometimes.
Sometimes. Go figure. I did not realize until reading this that Pee-wee's Playhouse spanned 5 seasons.
Yep.
It's called one of the most creative, surreal, hilarious, wall-to-wall, absurd shows on Saturday morning. It somehow managed to feel both innocent and subversive, a safe fantasy land that seemed vaguely dangerous. It was the perfect escape for any kid who felt different and needed a reminder that he wasn't alone.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Pee-wee? Wait a minute, have you ever seen Dustin Checks In?
That's the one with the monkey?
Yep. In the hotel?
No.
You should watch that. Pee-wee is in it. He's the exterminator. But he calls the orangutan by the scientific name. He's like, Pongo Pygmaeus. That's how he sounds. And I'm like, oh, snap, that's Pee-wee. He's back. You know, ever since that whole weirdness with, you know, porn and stuff. You know,
and that was funny because, I mean, overall, that was a quote-unquote regular thing. That was not a big deal.
Yeah.
He was a whole grown man that went to go beat his meat at a theater that was kind of designed for that.
Yes. And they made a spectacle of it. I'm like, this is a porn movie theater. Bro, like, what are you not supposed to do?
This is what everybody is doing.
But you know, though, it's like, you know, when parents get involved with things, they just... It's so funny because people say, oh, we weren't sensitive back then. Bullshit. Like, people were sensitive back then. Like, people had to change certain things on an 80s show to cater more to kids because parents was upset. And they were sensitive. And they had to change certain things. But then these same people, like, in the now, the 2020s and 2021s and whatever, oh, man, y'all's too dang sensitive. All right, cool. All right. And you see that. Now you just going into uproar because this dude actually did what was supposed to happen in a porn movie theater? You would think.
He went to an adult place whatever. And did an adult thing.
Yeah. There you go.
Go figure.
Now, like, and you get you're going to arrest me? Indecent exposure? Really? Mm-hmm. Really? All right.
Goodness. Next, we have watching movies on a Betamax. That is not a thing that I remember.
Nope. Do not remember a Betamax. Although, strangely, I wanted to see one, like, physically. I don't think I ever seen one, like, physically. Mm. And BC said the first ever movie I watched was on a Betamax. Top Gun says parents have one. Wizard of Oz was his first movie on the Betamax.
Hold on, like, currently they still have one?
I think so. Now, is the Betamax's...
They had one. Currently still have
it. Okay. Is the Betamax, like, where it opens up from the top and you put the tape in? Okay, he said yeah. Okay.
I just remember the tape was a different shape. It was like a different dimension. And so they would always try to make it clear that your VHS tapes could not fit in a Betamax. And if you try to stick your Betamax tapes in a VHS player, then it would get stuck.
Mm. Okay. Makes sense. I got you. Yeah, I'm a VHS guy.
Number 19. Yeah, this was not my reality.
Mm-mm.
But I know some people that was. Having nightmares about Teddy Ruxpin.
Why were you having nightmares about Teddy Ruxpin?
Some people were very creeped out by the mouth moving thing.
Well, you know what? Those kids are special, you know? Because when people had to hit Rossman, he used to record stuff he was saying. So Teddy could have a very foul mouth. That what people was doing with Teddy Ruxpin.
Like, that is not what I was doing with Teddy Ruxpin.
Here's the truth. I never had a Teddy Ruxpin.
I had one. He didn't have a mouth though. My grandmother bought it from a resale store.
And he just had a top lip.
No, he did. Like the whole thing was missing.
Why?
No. The bigger deal is, why did she think that it was okay to still buy that?
Grandma?
She still bought it. Still gave it to me. And I thought it was weird. Oh, and it also came with none of the Teddy Ruxpin tapes or books. So I basically just would use it as a cassette player.
Oh my god.
And yes, the animatronic, like the things that would move his mouth were still there.
Oh my god.
And his eyes would blink. But there was no mouth.
You had a mouthless Teddy Ruxpin. There was no mouth.
But that's actually why I think that it's funnier that people that had a fully working Teddy Ruxpin were creeped out, and I had this like very, like it reminds me very much of the kid from Toy Story. That had just like the yard full of misfit toys.
The one that was breaking up toys.
Like I had this misfit Teddy Ruxpin and I wasn't creeped out, but people had like fully working Teddy Ruxpins and they were totally creeped out.
Hey guys, you wanna play my Teddy Ruxpin? It doesn't have a mouth. It don't bite.
Okay, so the bad part is, let me just tell you. So my mom is right here. My mom hears me talking about this and she is cracking up laughing because she remembers the fact that I had a Teddy Ruxpin with no mouth. And she said, it's probably still at my grandmother's house. My Teddy Ruxpin had no mouth.
Oh, you need to get that Teddy Ruxpin. Like you got to get that.
Oh, she said it wasn't a whole mouth. She said it was just the bottom part that was broken. But nonetheless, it was super creepy.
Yeah, you need to go and get that and put it in a group. That is your mission for this week. To go get that creepy ass Teddy Ruxpin with no mouth. You got to do it. So what is number 20? What we got
number 20? Number 20 to close out this list for today, which I feel like is very, 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 very appropriate for us, which is why I love this list. Identifying with characters in John Hughes movies. From The Breakfast Club to 16 Candles, we didn't watch these John Hughes-helmed movies as a diversion from the real world. They were blueprints to our personal identities as teenagers. Were you a Blaine or a Ducky? If that reference makes no sense, your youth wasn't defined by Pretty in Pink, and we can't relate.
Man, you just said a word.
Just saying.
John Hughes, man.
John Hughes.
He did some classic. Very much so.
I keep saying that very I want to do a John Hughes like movie, like binge watching night.
You should. You won't be disappointed. That's for damn sure.
Right.
That's for damn sure. Breakfast Club is probably like one of my favorite movies. Honestly. And then you guys, it's been so long since I've seen 16 Candles, though. It's been a long time. It's been a while. But
there are parts of all these John Hughes movies that in retrospect were mad creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But the nostalgia of them doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Whoa, you say you never seen 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink? DC?
That's what he's saying. What about Weird Science?
Oh, yeah. Weird Science. Yeah. Have you seen Weird Science? I'm pretty sure you've seen Weird Science. I'm pretty sure you've seen Weird Science, BC. What? Oh, sad face. Wow. Whoa, man, this is the weirdest Monday ever. Damn. Yeah, you got to watch you some Weird Science. Believe every male in the world watched Weird Science. watch Weird Science. These are the facts. These are the facts. You got to watch Weird Science. And yes, so this week I will be traveling. So if possible, we may be able to do a show on Friday. But I will be on the road on Thursday, and I won't be back till Sunday. And I will be flying out to Detroit. And
you sounded like Maxwell.
Hanging out.
Why are you always on the road?
Why you always on the road?
Exactly what you sounded like. You say it rude. I'll be rude. On the road.
Yeah. Well, you ever seen Black Sheep with Chris Farley?
Yes.
David Spade? Yes. Roads. Roads.
Nope. Go to sleep. Take a nap.
So I'll be there on Thursday. And on top of that, I will be attending my first Major League Baseball game, courtesy of Queens Ransom. And we'll be watching the Detroit Tigers versus the Chicago Cubs. And I will get my baseball hot dog, son of a yes. And a beer.
I was going to have a beer and a hot dog and some peanuts.
A beer and a hot dog. And my baseball jersey in tow. Yep.
Completely random.
Yeah, that's gonna be
completely
a good
random fact for you and Queens Ransom to know. And double check to, but for the years that I worked there, you could bring in your own unopened bottle of water, and you can bring in your own peanuts. So you don't have to.
I'm not really a peanut guy.
But just, you know, if you're trying to do the whole baseball thing. Then people, you can bring in your own water and peanuts. The key to the water is, of course, they want to make sure that you didn't try to slip in like vodka or something. So it has to be a sealed bottle of water. Besides, I don't eat hot dogs. So whatever.
She don't.
I don't eat hot dogs.
She's a.
I'm a. Do you remember? There you go. Look at that. I'm a pescatarian.
Yay! I remember things. Yay!
I am a pescatarian. I also haven't eaten hot dogs since like the sixth or seventh grade. So I worked in Major League Baseball for a while and never had a hot dog.
Man, I haven't had Cracker Jacks in a minute, but I might just get nachos. Nachos, hot dog.
They have street tacos there. Like, and like I said, of course, I don't know with the coronavirus, if the shift on the menus. They have the personal pan size versions of Little Caesar's pizza, so it's much better. There's a Coney Island that is attached to the ballpark. You can of course get like, you know, the regular like hot dogs and nachos and popcorn. There are also daiquiri stands all over the place. I know that there's even a couple of craft beer stands that are there as well.
Oh my. Yeah, we might be taking a lift.
And street tacos.
We might be taking a lift.
And there's also street tacos available as well, so that you can try some different tacos. There was one stand that was doing hot dogs where they had like different like food themes or whatever. So there would be like a Mexican hot dog or, a Chicago style hot dog. So there would be like different types of toppings. And then there's like Italian sausage and, you know. So you can get like sausage and onion.
Man, I'm definitely going.
You're going to have to be rolled out of the ballpark.
Just get a wheelbarrow. Just leave it outside the stadium. Put my name on it and everything. Just.
So you are streaming.
You would have to tell me and Queen out of there.
So you are streaming today at 7.
We are going back retro. I may or may not be back on Friday, but we will definitely see and check on it. We're going back retro still because we've been playing a lot of Dreamcast games last week, and I was able to get PlayStation 1 emulator there, so might be knocking out some X-Men versus Street Fighter, some Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter. Definitely going to check into that. I found Brave Fencer Musashi. Those of us that have played any of the RPGs on PlayStation 1, so cannot wait to go into the comeback on it. So, but yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Lord, become a member of the Orange Phoenix Geek Corner on Facebook if you are not already. Check out our Instagram page at Orange Phoenix Media. The Twitch channel is twitch.tv/Orange Phoenix.
TV.
That's what I thought it was, but I was not going to say it wrong. So twitch.tv/Orange Phoenix TV. That is virtually impossible to forget.
Right.
Yeah, and we'll be back soon with more geek things and shenanigans.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And do not forget to join our Patreon as well. And
because the magazine came out.
That's right. The magazine came out, the May edition of Orange Phoenix Magazine. Once again, shout out to Andres that currently lives in Brazil, and he's from Brazil. He put out the new Captain America artwork on the cover. You have to check that out. Please check that thing out. And then next month as well, we're definitely going to be trying to showcase more independent artists and put their artwork out there for the forefront for people to actually see. There are some changes coming. There's some changes coming. We are working on some things, so just be on the lookout.
Oh, you know, there's a remind you, there is a young anime artist in our friend circle.
Do tell.
Tenacious.
Do
Tenacious'
tell.
Daughter.
That's right.
Yep.
That is right. That's right. Shout out to Nation's daughter because she is an anime head.
Not only is she an anime head, she is going to school. She is going to an art school in Japan to design and create anime.
Get the heck out of town, man. Get the heck out of town.
Yup. So, shout out to Young Tisha.
And shout out to Xavier82. He said, my daughter does anime paintings. Yes. Xavier82, if you're not a member yet of the Orange Phoenix Geek Corner on Facebook, go ahead and join that Geek Corner group page. We're more than happy to accept you. And also follow us at Orange Phoenix Media as well. I might be sending you a DM, my man.
Yes, because we would love to feature her paintings somewhere within the magazine. That would be awesome. I had a bittersweet day yesterday. My son is coming home, but it is because unfortunately they lost, so their baseball season is over. But I am very, very proud of the Xavier University of Louisiana baseball team. First time they've had a team in 61 years, and they were able to play. They finished a record with 27-11. So I am very, very proud of that team. There are only a couple of seniors that are done and moving on. So I am excited to see if they can do 27-11 this year on a first year program. Mm-hmm. What the heck are they going to do next year?
Right. I will. They're going to do great things next year. Stay optimistic. Glass half full.
Yes.
And hopefully I'll be able to attend some of these baseball games too, because I do love going to a baseball game, because we do have the Fireflies here in Columbia, which ain't a major league baseball game, but man, it is so awesome to go
minor league baseball games are like quiet.
Yes,
I laughed when I went to Alabama. The team is the Montgomery Biscuits.
He's like, what?
They're the Montgomery Biscuits. That's their mascot.
Like,
they got a picture of biscuits with a pat of butter on top.
Listen, all right. Hey, thank you for joining our team. You are a shortstop for Montgomery Biscuits. Like, what?
Yep.
The biscuits. Like, what? You know what? I'm not even on this team. I'm not even. Nope.
Y'all have a great week, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Peace out.